Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. This is Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kay Sherrell, America's favorite Southern Belle. It is very bright and early on this sort of gloomy Saturday morning here in the ATL. But, you know, as always, gonna make the most of any day because there's a little bit of sunshine poking through these rain clouds, and I'm so excited about that. So, today, we have a special guest that will be joining us later, Femi Fatale, host, Queen Sheba, founder of Rough Language, spoken word artist, musician, you name it, pretty much she has done it. So I'm excited about having her on this morning with me. So let's go ahead and just, while we're waiting, jump right on into our weekly recap. Heard something extremely disturbing this morning, listening to the news. States are actually looking at withholding people's refund check because of the deficit. I had no idea that that was legal, that you can actually file, be issued a refund, and the state hold your money because they're in a deficit and wait to send it to you later. There are numerous states who are actually looking at doing that, and I'm just highly offended because if I don't file my taxes, you want to put me in jail. Wesley Snipes can talk about that. Al Capone, tax evasion is a huge thing, but you're telling me that I can file and you keep my money so that your bank account is not empty because you've already overspent. How is that legal? That is my question. Somebody please explain it to me because I'm so confused right now as to how it is legal to go ahead and hold my money. You can't do that. So California is one of the states that is doing it. Apparently Georgia did it last year, and I really didn't notice because I will file 10 million extensions. Just because I don't have kids, like I said in the show we did about taxes a few weeks back, if you don't really have kids, I mean, the amount that you get back is minimal at times, especially if you, you know, didn't recently just have some kind of major lifestyle change. So I will file extension after extension, so I don't really know when mine comes and when it's late and things like that, but no. Government, you will not hold our money because you have not done your part. That's not going to work for me, not at all. This week, they had the Oscars, and I watched part of it. I'm not an award show type person, honestly. It has never really been my thing, but I did catch part of the Oscars because I was at my uncle's house when it came on. And I saw Monique win, which I was not at all shocked about that because that was the reason why I felt like Oprah and Tyler Perry and things, you know, got behind the movie in the first place. I felt like that it was, you know, because they really wanted to push for an Oscar. And anyone who read the book knows that the book and the movie were extremely different. Some of the things that would have been a little too raunchy or racy, you know, for a movie were taken out from the book. If you haven't read the book, you have to read the book because it will truly change your perspective on the movie. And, of course, books and movies are always different. But I don't know. For this one, I think that maybe some of the meat of the movie, some of that deeper understanding of the movie was taken away, you know, for those specific purposes so that the movie really could win rather than giving you the full story. So saw that, thought it was quite interesting, you know, and then, of course, it was time to flip and watch, you know, something a little bit more entertaining like reality television. Another thing that I found interesting looking at this week in retrospect, how about Bill Gates is no longer the world's richest man? I mean, the recession hit Bill Gates. You know, when I saw that headline, I was like, oh my God. Bill Gates is no longer the richest man. Apparently, Mexico's slam, Helu, takes the number one spot of Forbes' annual list of billionaires. And I've never heard of him, so I'm wondering, who is he, what has he been doing, and why is he now the richest man and Bill Gates is not? But think about it like this, though. Bill Gates is not number one, but he's still Bill Gates. So that is, like, that's still a huge thing. You know, it's still Bill Gates. He's still a billionaire. He's just not number one. That's not a bad place to be. So that was very interesting. I always like to look at the Forbes list of billionaires. I really don't know why, but I mean, I'm not on the list. At some point, I will be, you know, right behind Oprah and Jay-Z and people like that. But right now, I'm not on the list. But, you know, digress. So those of you who are listening on the Internet, the call-in number is 646-595-4522. I have to say I'm a little bit low energy today. A little naked without my co-host. He opted not to air today. So if you see Mr. Jordan Lamar, let him know that he was missed on the show today. So anyway, while we're still waiting on our guest to call in, one of the things I would like to go ahead and talk about is the art industry. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were discussing music and how music is not what it used to be. Music used to be an art. Anyone other than me remember when music used to be an art, when there were times when you would hear the opening chord to a song and you would just lose your mind? Anyone other than me remember those days? I don't know. It is just it's sad. You know, I find it to be extremely sad. I'm like, what happened to music? When did music die? When did music change? Why is it all about gold chains and record sales and things like that? The arts are really, really dying, and that is one of the reasons why I'm so excited to be in the Atlanta area where, you know, the arts are extremely strong. There are poets, artists, musicians everywhere. I mean, and I find it interesting. It's a little bit sad to see the art begin to sort of die out. So I don't know. That's really, you know, sort of what is on my mind right now this morning, you know, and even, you know, not taking anything away from the artists that are out now, Beyonce and Lil Wayne and things like that, but let's just be honest. They are performers. They are not artists. Music is an art, and that is 100% the truth. And I'm just going to stick with that is the truth. So those of you who are listening online, the guest call-in number is 646-595-4522. I have a caller on the line right now that would like to have something to say. I'm looking at you. You have area code 229. Area code 229, I'm coming to you. Good morning. You're on Real Talk Radio. This is Kay Sherelle. Who am I speaking with?
Good morning. This is Charlene.
Good morning, Charlene. What's going on? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
You know, it's a Saturday morning. It's a little bit gloomy up here in Atlanta. I don't know, waiting on the sunshine to peek through. And then again, I probably should have had my morning coffee, though I don't really drink coffee, but you know.
Well, the sun is shining bright here. We got a lot of rain yesterday, so it's looking like it's going to be a beautiful, sunny day today, and I'm happy about that.
All right. So what is your comment or question this morning?
Well, I just want to comment what you were saying about the music and the art industry. I think what happened is the artists these days, they don't write the song from their heart. I just feel like artists in the past, they used to really feel the music and put more heart into it. Now it's more commercial and about money and all about the bling bling, and it's just been changed. So the music these days just don't have any feeling to me. I mean, they can just pick any topic these days and just write about anything, and I don't understand. It just blows up, but it don't have any feeling.
You know, I realized that music completely changed, and music was no longer art. Few years back when I heard this song called Chicken Noodle Soup, and I was completely disgusted.
I thought I was just thinking about that same thing.
I was completely disgusted, and that's the thing. You can't let art die. You know, art is meant to be genuine, and it's meant to be pure. That's one of the
exactly.
big things, and that's what's so important to me about my writing, about the poetry that I do, because every single thing that I write directly relates to some type of experience that I've had, so it keeps it pure. I refuse to be commercialized. And,
right.
you know, let things change the way that I speak, because I can't, you know, allow myself to be put into a category just so that
right.
I can become popular. It's not
right.
going to happen that way.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So stay on that track and you would do great. I wish some of these artists today would, that, you know, some of the artists from yesteryear be their mentor and just follow in their footsteps, and they're not doing that. And that's
100%.
Why it's so much. Yeah.
100%. Well, Charlene, I thank you for calling in to the show this morning. I do hope that you will continue to listen to Real Talk Radio. Right now, we're going to go ahead and bring on the guest of today, Ms. Sheba of Rough
What's
Language.
Up?
Did I wake you up so early this morning?
Oh, come on, me and you, we were up till 5:30 talking. You know you woke me up. That's all good. It's all good.
Well, actually, I cheated because I was actually asleep, and I woke up about 4 o'clock
gotcha.
This morning, and then I was up for about an hour, and I went back to sleep. But I think you were probably just up.
You know what? And I thought you were asleep, too, because you know how you send somebody, you read your text messages all hella late, and I saw that you text me around 11, and then when I was texting you at 3, and you didn't respond until 4:30. I was like, oh, she's asleep. That's nice.
Hey, you know, I have to get that rest in at times. The week is long, you know.
You ain't lying.
93 kids every week is getting old. I promise you, any day, please come sub for me.
You know what? I tried to sub when I first moved here in 05, but because of the storm, a lot of the jobs and teaching jobs were given to the Katrina victims, which was fine with me, you know, because I do poetry. So I was like, okay, cool. But I thought that would be really cool. But maybe I'll try again. I'll come to your school and sub. Are they good kids or what? You got to hem them up by their pants.
Hell no, they're not good kids. And you need, you know, school pants to choke them with. I'm like, you know, kids are not like they were when I was growing up, so I'm just always with my jaw dropped on that one.
I can imagine.
Well, Sheba, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about yourself, let them know what you're working with.
What I'm working with? that's funny. Well, I have been a poet since I was 7, and to make a long story short, I have evolved into a spoken word artist probably when I was 9, believe it or not, but not officially, of course, but I did, when I was in the 4th grade, I had to do a Raisin in the Sun, and it had to be memorized. We couldn't read it. It's for a school, like, recital, and I remember my father telling me that, you know, that I had really good projection and, you know, it was really clear. And that just, I just won't forget that. And I remember him using a word at the time I didn't know, which was, he was like, well, I'm probably a little biased. And I remember just letting that slide because I didn't want him to know that I didn't know what he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I looked it up the next day and I was like, oh, okay, I got it. So, I've always written, though. I've always written in journals. I wrote folk songs because my mother played the guitar and sang just really around the house. She goes, you know, she didn't go out into the clubs and stuff like we know guitar players to do at our age now. But I really think, you know, I tell people that I think our 30 is a different 30 than our parents were. I think our parents were a lot older at 30 than we are now. You know, I think we're still pretty young and hip and, you know, out in the world at 30 where they were kind of bogged down with children and didn't really have that flexibility that we do now. So from there, I kind of got that entertainment aspect from her, the teaching aspect from her and from my father who did public speaking. He worked for the Veterans Association and went around the country and did public speaking. And he said that, I always used to ask him, did he write his speeches down? And he said, no, he would make them up when he got there. And I was like, okay. I thought that was kind of scary. But my mother taught preschool and would have to write out in teacher's plan, well, I guess, you know, vitae, like you guys have to do now. So all of that to say that when I got to college and started in this poetry club, we started doing poetry at this coffee house, and that kind of evolved, and I got fired from Bank of America after about 5 years in 2001, the summer, July 10th of 2001, and then I just started, it was like sink or swim. It was like, you know, you've always wanted to do this, now is your opportunity. I really think God fired me from Bank of America, otherwise I would still be, you know, there, because I'm really big, believe it or not, on consistency, only because I'm a control freak. But I think poetry helps kind of therapeutize that sometimes. As if you did you read my blog about the road rage?
Yes, I did. And you know, I heard part of the story of it at the open mic that night. You were talking about it, and I 100% can relate, because I promise you, I love control. It makes me feel good.
So anyway, so that once we started doing the poetry group and Rough Lane, and I know all the listeners are like, where did the road rage come from? And I'll tell y'all in a second. But anyway, so then we started doing a poetry slam in Norfolk, Virginia, which is where I'm kind of from as an adult. But I grew up in Detroit, and then I moved to Virginia right at about 17, 18 years old, and I lived there up until 4 years ago when I moved to Atlanta. So started doing poetry there, started, you know, traveling there, hit a couple different countries because of poetry, and then we started this mini festival. Then when I moved to Atlanta, I was really kind of in a bad place mentally and emotionally. I just didn't want to deal with anybody. I did do, you know, a couple of open mics or whatever, but I didn't put my feet in the water, started doing events until about 2006. And then really from there, people loved it. They loved the idea. They loved the concept of Poetry Slam, because I didn't attach it to the National Poetry Slam, which is a whole other beast and we could talk about another day. But that makes it a non-stress slam where it's just for fun or cash or prizes or whatever. But of course, you know, once you do something great, people love it and they want to help, and it grows and grows and grows and grows. So we started at Barrazzo. I don't even know if y'all know where that is. It's on the corner of Ponce, right by the Spaghetti Warehouse. It's such a small coffee house. Like, if you blink, you'll miss it. So probably, you know, help, you know, a good amount of people, like maybe 60 people can fit in there, but we probably had like 150. And I remember that we had a line down the street when the doors opened. It was just crazy. And then we just grew and grew and grew and grew. We've done a couple shows at the Loft. We did Sugar Hill a few times while they were open. Of course, we used the Apache. And 7 days from now, we will be at 595, and it's turned into Rough Language. What we know today is called Rough Language, where poets come from all over the country, literally and out of the country. We have people coming from Alaska. One sister was coming from Nova Scotia, Canada, but she can't make it. She said, you know, she'll probably come to the next one or to next year. And from Texas, Detroit, California, Philadelphia, North and South Carolina, New York, and from West Palm Beach, Florida. And, of course, we have three representatives from here, from Atlanta, Georgia. And it's just going to be off the chain. And this month is Women's History Month, so all the slammers are women. But, of course, we have men lined up in our show, and it's just going to be great. We have three amazing singers, Eva Kennedy, Felipia Williams, and Raquel M. Jackson from Philadelphia, who are going to open our show. And I'm going to open the show with Gennaro's favorite poem, the period poem, which I don't even think you've heard yet. It is hilarious from beginning to end. You just have to be prepared. It's a little graphic, but it's really kind of cool. So you should come for the dynamic, that diversity. It's just really going to be off the chain. So long story short, over the last 12 years, we're going to end up doing Rough Language Poetry Slam next weekend at 595.
That is hot. Now, let me, because, you know, that synopsis of everything, like I heard you name probably about 10 states that you have lived in. So you have really pretty much done poetry all over the globe.
Well, the states I was naming are the places that the poets will be coming from next Saturday to participate in Rough Language.
No, I'm talking about where you say you live.
I lived in Virginia,
New Orleans, all sorts of places.
No. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and then I moved to Norfolk, Virginia, and then I moved here 4 years ago. So just three places.
Oh, okay.
Just three. Right. But I have been to New Orleans to do poetry. I have been all over the country, and I've been to Canada, and I have been to 8 countries, including the states in Canada. So I've been to Europe a few times. I've been to Cuba. I've been to Africa. So it's been a really awesome ride. Matter of fact, me and my band and Kelly Love Jones, we're going to be touring Europe in May for about 3 weeks, and then I will be going to South Africa with some friends for a month or two this summer. So we're going to go crash the World Cup and hopefully do some gigs while we're down there. So if you know anybody, I know you know everybody and their mama, so if you know anybody in South Africa, we're looking for a connection.
Well, you know what? I don't know anyone personally in South Africa, but I know a frequent visitor of South Africa and a couple other people. So, you know, I will put some feelers out there. And let you know what I come up with. I don't know, something about networking. I love it. Now, tell me more about this event. Well, not me, but tell the listeners a little bit more about the event next Saturday. I know you said that MAC Cosmetics is one of the backers of it.
Yeah. What happened was I visit the Perimeter Mall MAC Cosmetics store quite a bit.
Oh, I love the Perimeter Mall. That's my store. I love it. Go ahead.
I love Perimeter Mall. It has everything that I could ever want, you know, in there.
And valet.
You know, I like Lennox is cool, but I really think like Perimeter is for the grown and sexy. I really feel like Perimeter, there's not a whole bunch. I mean, there's lots of people that's always there, but I don't know. It's just a different, it's just calmer or something. I don't know. I think Lennox is always like, you know what I mean?
I think Lennox is like, I don't feel like I can touch things in Lennox. Like, I walk around in Lennox in my hand in my pocket, like, okay, you know, they got signs that were break if you bought it. But, you know, with Perimeter, you know, I break stuff all the time. No one says anything.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and there's not, like, cars in the middle of the mall where, like, you feel like if you lean against it, the alarm is going to go off or, like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I like Perimeter Mall just way. And I live an hour from there. So I live southwest Atlanta, so I drive 45 minutes if I'm speeding in an hour, like if I'm, you know, doing real good, like on a sunny day where I'm just chilling. So I have to bypass Lennox, Phipps, and about 14 other malls to get to Perimeter. I really like that place. But anyway, so I go there all the time. My homegirl April works there, and she happened to be in there one day. And she was like, Sheba, what do you have coming up? And I was like, well, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, my God, we're launching our Women's History Month line. So it's all about Rough Language for Women's History Month. Rough Language, for the listeners, is a quarterly Poetry Slam and live music concert that we do 4 times a year in Atlanta. And we also do Rough Language in other cities. We do it in Philadelphia. We've done it in Detroit. And we're going to do one in Chicago this coming summer. And we're going to do our first one in London when we go there in May. So those are the places that Rough Language has been. And people call us all the time to bring Rough Language to their city because it's such a perfect combination of live music and poetry. So Rough Language is a live music concert and poetry slam. Now, what has happened over the years is that poets always open up for musicians. So when I created this show, I made it so that the musicians, the music artists, open for the poetry slam. And we bill it as a poetry slam so that people know why they're coming. They know that once the concert's over and it's 11 o'clock, the poetry slam is just about to start. But the poetry slam doesn't take long at all. It takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours tops if we're having a good time and making jokes. And so people on a Saturday night are walking out of there at 1 o'clock and they've had a great time. It's like going to see a play. So you go in at 8 o'clock, you know, doors open, you mingle around, you network. The show starts right at 9, and I always start on time. I do not start late. We start at 9 o'clock. Actually, we start at 9:15 because I make the joke all the time that I'm half white, so I start half late all the time. So we start at 9:15 on the dot, and the show is fluid. We have 3 music guests that go first, Raquel M. Jackson, and then Eva Kennedy, who is amazing. She's done background for Khalees and so many other people. It's just ridiculous, and she is her own dynamic artist with amazing songs. You will love them. And Philippia Williams, who you've seen in Tyler Perry's Daddy's Little Girl. She's been all over the country. She's been out of the country. She's just an amazing, amazing artist. So, and we headline people that you may or may not know, and it does not matter to us if they are famous, quote unquote, or if they're just local famous or whatever it is. All we do is pick people that we want to listen to for half an hour at a time because we love their music. That's it. We build the show as a poetry slam. So men, women come in there. They know exactly, you know, what the setup is. They're not tricked into it, you know, because sometimes people are like, oh, my goodness, this is poetry slam. I didn't know. It's so fun. I'm like, yes, it is awesome. So that's how it goes. The concert goes first, and then the poetry slam, and then we're out of there. We have an amazing DJ. Her name is DJ E, and I walked into the Perimeter Mall, Mac Store, told April about it. She was like, we would love to come and launch our summer line at your show. And I was like, oh, that would be so awesome, because they have a Women's History Month campaign as well. So they're going to come, and they are going to be in the house giving away makeup. We're going to do raffles to raise money for the Haiti situation, because people remember, just because it's not on the news anymore doesn't mean that the situation in Haiti is over. It's going to be a long, 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 long process, and they're going to need our continuous support. And, of course, we have things here at home that we need to support, so make sure you take care of your family first. But if you're able to, make sure to continue to support the Haiti relief. So we're going to do a raffle, for Haiti relief, and it's just going to be amazing. So you can get your makeup done there. You can get it freshened up. They'll have chairs, and they will have a makeup bar. So if you happen not to get a giveaway, if you get there too late or what have you, then you can also purchase makeup while you're there. And I know I am going to. I cannot wait to see what they have launched. And, of course, you can find out all this information and buy advanced discounted tickets at roughlanguage.com, and it's spelled correctly, roughlanguage.com.
I love that every time you say it, and it's spelled correctly.
Because, well, let me tell you what. When I was in Europe 2 years ago on tour with Domino Effect, my current album, I met a brother, and he is responsible for giving us the name Rough Language. Him and I were performing in Amsterdam. His name is Colonel Red. Look him up. He's an amazing singer-songwriter in London, and he has a record label. An actual record label called, you know, not just like I got a cell phone and business card, but an actual record label called Rough Language, and it's spelled R-U-F-F. And I was like, oh, I love that for a name of an event. And I emailed him when I got back to the States and said, because at the time Rough Language was called Twisted Tongue, I had a different business partner. And, you know, things change, people fall out. And I was like, ooh, can I name my event Rough Language? And I changed the name, got a new business partner, and it has been a seamless, smooth ride ever since, and I'm just grateful. Her name is Melissa Scott, and she runs a event planning company called Trax Girls, and she does amazing, amazing women's events. It's off the chain, so I was very glad to meet her at my album release party, actually, is when we kind of started hooking up and planning Rough Language, and it's been amazing ever since. So
this is
what I've wanted it always to be, and I'm glad to see it in fruition.
That is definitely what's up. I am going to go ahead right now and go to the phone lines because I know you feel like I've been ignoring you, but I have not. I'm looking at a 678 area code, 678-907. I'm coming to you.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Chauncey. Hey, Sheba.
What's up, Chauncey? I think you're on final stage.
Yay!
I am. Are you
still in first place? No, actually, I got a 1 in a 2-minute round and took an 11 in the 3-minute round. I fooled around and dropped part of my poem, but I ended up ranking 11 overall going into final stage.
Woo! Chauncey, yeah. What we're talking about is that the Women of the World Poetry Slam, who's also going to be in Rough Language, and she's all the way in Columbus, Ohio right now, but she lives here in Atlanta, is going to be in the Rough Language Slam next weekend. And we're talking about she's just spent 3 days slamming at Women of the World. It's a tournament, and she is going to the final stage tonight, bitches!
Yeah.
That is what's up. Congrats.
Thank you. I woke up to your text message, but let me call. My head has been up here so much, and I haven't been able to really promote the Rough Language event like I would want to because my head has been here. So I was like, let me get on this call this morning.
Not that the pressure's off, but at least, you know, I totally get it. This is my first year not slamming, just kind of taking a step back, and I thought that I mean, completely, and, like, knowing that I'm not coming back to it, and just I thought that I miss it, but I don't. I don't miss the stress at all.
Well, you got big things going on, so
yeah,
I'm sure.
It's replaced by a different stress.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's so good. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Sheba. Thank you. I just wanted to swing in and say hello, so.
Well, hello.
I don't know. Hello. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to do any more than that, but.
No,
that
no,
just
you
it.
Did. Did Laura make final stage too? Did Laura, yes, that's make
Laura,
final
she
stage.
Did. She did. She killed it last night too. She got a 30. She got a 30 on her 3-minute. So she
that's
killed it last
awesome.
Night. Yeah, she.
Laura,
we was in the same bout.
Oh, good. Laura,
yeah, so
she's also going to be in our poetry slam. I know y'all may or may not know who that is, but she is the poet that's coming from D.C., and she's driving. So a lot of these poets are coming on their own dime, and thank you to Kimberly Sherrill, who we are talking with now, and thank you to Ebony in Richmond, and thank you to Scorpio Blues, and thank you to Ty Lee, another woman here in Macon, Georgia. They have all been raising money for you all. Chauncey, did you get my text message yesterday about the prize?
Wow. I did get a text message, but I didn't get to look at it just because I was in the middle of competing. So I did get you. I had to relook at it. So wow. So tell me about these prizes. I would like to know more about them.
Well, yeah. Long story short, you know, I've been doing these blog talk shows and a couple radio shows, and people just been asking, like, what do you need? What can I help you with? And so we've actually come up with a second and third prize, a healthy second and third prize, not like just $50 or a Target card, which would have been absolutely fine. Also, like,
uh-huh.
out there because somebody might put their card back. I won't forget it. Target card. But people have been donating things like for you guys to have in your poet bags and from their stores, and Ty Lee from Macon, who, and I want to say this publicly, we did not pick her to be in the Poetry Slam for a couple different reasons, but she sent in 5 letters of recommendation, but she is going to be in charge of the erotic poetry reading on Sunday at my house, which, you know, I run as a bed and breakfast during the swap meet, so she called yesterday and said, hey, you know what? I got a couple Visa cards and a couple gas cards that we can give to people that are traveling. And then Brandy, Scorpio Blues, she's a dope poet. I don't know if you know her. She's in the Bay Area. And then my homegirl, Ebony from Richmond, Virginia, who is also Ebony is coming. Brandy cannot make it. They are offering up second and third prize, and it is a healthy second and third prize. So
oh,
I'm
that's
very
good.
Excited. It is very good. So I'm excited.
That's beautiful.
About that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So
that's
it's now
good.
Turned into. I would just say it's now turned into $1,000 slam. So I'm very excited about that. Right.
That's good. That's
like
it's good to
right
see all the support
out.
you get too as well, Sheba. So it lets you know, you know, that people really respect and honor what you do, so that's good. That's good.
I really respect and love you, Chauncey.
That's the goal, right?
I knew that you were distracted when I texted you yesterday. I was like, congratulations, let me get Hamza's number. And you're like, Hamza, blah, 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 678. I was like, you know what?
Because you know, I usually am like, hey, girl. I was like,
right, when you didn't even address it, I was like, okay,
yeah. No, I think you, I said thanks first. I sent you a thanks first. So actually what happened was I said thanks and didn't read the part where you was asking for his phone number. So then I went back and had to get his phone number.
Well,
yeah, but I did
like,
say thanks.
Right.
Yeah, we are on
our My bad, Kimberly. Anyway, so
yes. Thank you.
When do you come back? Do you come back Saturday?
I come back Saturday morning right before the show, yeah, because I have a few gigs up here before I leave. So I will be there. With a ready to go, with a smiling face, ready to serve first. We got to do our service first, right?
Yeah, you know what? We didn't even talk about that. Kimberly, another thing, too, thank you for having us because one of the things that Kimberly really liked about it is everybody else is that the poets are actually required to send in letters of recommendation from somebody in their community talking about them as a person and how they give to their community other than poetry. So that's what the poets had to do first. And on top of that, they are all required to do community service when they get here in the city of Atlanta. So Chauncey will be flying back from Ohio next Saturday. She's going to stay up there because she's from there and hang out with her friends and family for another week. But she's going to fly in Saturday morning and teach a writing workshop, and it's open to everyone. So if you all want to come, you know, just give me a call, 404-697-9734. It is free and at my house. And don't worry about my phone number being public. It's been public for 12 years, ever since I've been doing events. So again, my phone number is 404-697-9734. The writing workshop starts. What time, Chauncey? 11? What time do you fly in? 11 o'clock?
I fly in at like 10:15, but I probably won't get to you to 11. So
11, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to have a light breakfast, a continental breakfast for everybody. I run a bed and breakfast in southwest Atlanta, of course, from my home for artists, and it is set up as a bed and breakfast, so we're going to have a light breakfast while we're here. If y'all want to come to the writing workshop, it's going to be from 11 to about 12:30, not very long at all, and then we're all going to head out to do community service, so if you all want to join us for that, the community service, then please do, and then later on that night, we're going to kick ass in poetry slam. It's going to be so fun, and if y'all can't wear pink and black because we're trying to show Mac that we support them, and come casual. This is not a dress-up event. Come cute, casual. Be comfortable because you're going to walk around. Cute, casual. That's right. Go to Perimeter and go to, like, Hot Topic or some shit. I don't know. I don't know. Do something. But come cute, casual. Wear hot pink and black. It's going to be super fresh.
All right.
And you can find the whole schedule again at roughlanguage.com because on Sunday evening we're having a clothing swap and it is the best shit ever. We have a little mini house party. Well, I don't even say mini. We have a house party. It's BYOB. You bring your clothes that you take from your closet, your clothes, jewelry, shoes that you no longer want anymore. And you bring them, we swap between each other for free. And the clothes that do not get swapped, we're giving to the sister, the poet that's coming from West Palm Beach to take back to her organization. She's actually working at one of the Haiti centers. So because they're so close to Florida, she's actually working with them. We're going to give them to her. And what she can't take back, we're going to give to AP, April Smith, over here at Arm for Art. And she's going to send them with the things that she's doing. So It's a whole weekend full of stuff. We start on Friday. The main show is on Saturday, and then we have a house party on Sunday. And then for the poets that are listening on Monday down at Rex, Georgia, we have another $500 poetry slam. So, I mean, it's just going to be off the hook for 4 days.
That is great. I think that is completely, completely awesome. Chauncey would like to say congrats, good luck on the next level.
Good luck tonight, Chauncey. Good luck
thank
tonight.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, yeah, you bring it all back in.
What did you say? I'm sorry, both of y'all was talking at the same time. What did you just ask me, Sheba?
I said, do you know what you're going to do tonight?
I have a list of about six poems that I'm like, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, I got a pretty good bag of poems to pull from, so.
Of course, absolutely.
That's it.
You should.
Yeah.
Okay, just do the ones I wrote for you, and you'll be good.
Oh, okay, yes, yes. I'll be sure to cite Beth Sheba Rev at the bottom of every poem I read tonight.
Thank you.
All right, ladies, thanks so much for your blessings, and have a great show.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Congratulations, and good luck tonight.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I am looking at the next caller, area code 817. Area code 817, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, ladies. How are you?
Wonderful. Fantastic. Who is this?
This is Kia D down here in Texas.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, that's right.
Kia D?
We got it hot and steamy down here in Texas for my girl Audacious. I'm telling
Audacious
you, she
is coming all the way up from. We see you coming to the Fort Worth area, right?
That's right. That's right. She's coming to represent. That's right. I'm so
and
proud of her.
Driving, isn't that right?
Woo wee! I'm telling you, she on fire. She's driving.
She is driving from
yes.
Texas. That's why we're raising money for the poets that are coming from so far for these travel stipends. And it's not a lot that we're trying to raise for each one. We're trying to raise $100 for each poet that's coming from hella far outside of the state. And we know it's not a lot of money, but it's something that I learned from a slam called the Ill List Poetry Slam. I want to give them credit for that. It's an invitational-only also poetry slam that happens in Modesto, California every December for the end of like their college season, and we all go out there on our own dimes also, but they give us a small travel stipend, and I thought that was great. There's another slam, it's called the Arkansas Grand Slam. They do the same thing. Poets actually have to register, same as our slam, and pay a little registration fee, but when they get there, they give them, you know, a little travel stipend that, you know, kind of gives that back plus some on top of that, that just kind of says thank you for coming. We know it's hard, you know, to travel around with just a gamble on a poetry slam. This is not a feature where you're guaranteed money, but this is why the whole community has opened up their homes. I don't know if you know this, Kimberly, but Sonara from the Wing Lab, who just started kind of getting in our poetry scene like, what, 2-3 weeks ago, she has opened up her home to house a poet. There are people that are on my email list that I trust, like Chauncey. Of course, she's going to house another poet that's coming from out of town. I'm going to house 8 poets here at my house. So it's just going to be – it's a beautiful, beautiful event. It's not just about the Poetry Slam, even though that's the live show. So we're so looking forward to Audacious driving 14 gazillion million miles from Fort Lauderdale, Texas, up here this coming weekend. I think she's going to start making her way around Tuesday or Wednesday is what she said, and kind of make, you know, some stops. And she's going to get here on Friday, and we're going to have our meet and greet at Tiempo Privado, and then Saturday do our writing workshop and all of that and kick ass at night. And Sunday have our house party. It's going to be so much fun. So I'm so looking forward to it.
That is
congratulations.
That is dedication, like to the art, though.
Wow.
Like,
really,
it's helping them more to come than the first prize.
Mm-hmm. They're right. That's exactly. And actually, you know, I just kind of leaked that with Chauncey, but I usually don't even tell the poets if there's extra money until the day of the show. A lot of times, people will give second and third prizes, and sometimes there'll be gifts. There'll be like T-shirts or cookies or something like that, which is great. Like I said before, we take it. We give it to them because otherwise we wouldn't have had anything. Like at Christmas, we actually my girlfriend Wendy had this gift basket from some company that gave it to her. It was like cookies and stuff. We gave that as a second prize. We're like, thanks.
Praise God.
Exactly. So the poets really come for the experience. of the whole community, more so than the slam. Of course, the slam is the main show for everybody and the concert. And but this time I was like, yo, I really need some help. I just put it out in the community. I put it out in my newsletter, Twitter, and Facebook. I said, look, community, I really need you guys' help. I need second and third prize tangible cash prizes because these poets are coming from hella far, especially when I knew Karina was coming from Alaska. And at the time I thought that Elle was coming from Nova Scotia. And people have really been like, oh, shoot, you should have just said so. Here. I was like,
wow.
Oh, shit. I should have said that 3 years ago. But, you know, it's been an amazing experience. So thank you to everybody that's helped. And we have a list of supporters that we're going to put in our program. So make sure that you all come next Saturday, March 20th, 1 week from today at 595 North. That is the name of the place, and that is the address. It's right down the street from the Varsity. It's on the corner of North Side Drive and North Avenue. And you can find out everything you need on roughlanguage.com. And, of course, you can always call me if you need anything, 404-697-9734.
You know, I want to let you ladies know, congratulations on everything that you're doing. It is wonderful, my girl Audacious. I wish you the best of luck. I do. I also have a radio show on Blog Talk Radio and on KEBN Radio. I'm the owner of KEBNRadio.com. And I'm telling you, So Monday morning, I have my radio show, and Audacious was like, we got to get these girls on. I was like, man, I'm moving everything around so we can get, yes, I want y'all on the show. Because we've got to pump what you got, because we don't know who in Texas is in Houston. And, you know, we have a lot of listeners in Atlanta already and California, and they come in Atlanta this weekend. So it's going to be a hot weekend out there. So I'm telling you, it's going to be great. I'm very excited.
Time out. What time in the morning? Hold on.
I'll
ask a question. Monday, at what time?
What time?
Monday morning, let's do, you know what, we'll do your interviews at 11:20. Is that good
perfect.
Time for y'all?
Okay.
And that's CST. That's Central
perfect.
Standard Time.
So 10:20. No, so 12:20. 12:20.
That's right. 12:20 your time.
Oh, that's great.
You'll be up and running by then, I'm telling you.
Up and running.
Three cups of coffee by that time. It's on.
At least. Yes. Okay, gotcha.
Man, I'm so excited for y'all. This is going to be great. This is going to be amazing, man. Y'all have a wonderful morning. I love your show. Congratulations. It is awesome. It is awesome.
Are you
awesome.
Coming to Atlanta next weekend?
I can't come to Atlanta. I have to host the show. I have to host the show Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's going to be hot and smoking down here in Texas, too. I'm telling you. I got it on lock out here.
Because it's South by Southwest in Fort Worth, isn't it? This coming weekend?
Dallas.
In Dallas.
Everybody flies out of Dallas. I wish we had some in Fort Worth, but we don't. We got the Air Force Base out here. Everybody can't leave from there.
So that's wonderful. Well, I haven't been to Texas to perform in ages. I would love
you need to come.
Y'all get back down there. Yeah, I would love.
You know,
to get back
we need to we need to make it happen.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Let's do it. I got it. Let's do it. I got your number here. I wrote it down. So when you were talking,
okay, cool.
I was writing. I got everything.
Thank you so much.
I got it all. You're welcome, ladies.
Feel free to call me.
Awesome, Blossom. Ladies, y'all have a great day. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Thank you for calling in. I'm telling you people, Real Talk Radio, uniting poets from all over the globe. That's what I'm here for. I'm telling you. Call in right now, those of you who are listening online, 646-595-4522. If you would like to talk to the queen. The queen is in the house. I usually don't allow people, you know, who outrank my throne as princess. So, you know.
Let me tell the audience about your ass. Kimberly is great. Let me tell you, she is awesome and amazing. We started this, and I only say little because we just started. We started because I don't like to use the word little or the word just in anything. I like to take that out of my vocabulary. So all the listeners, let's practice taking the word little and taking the word just out of our vocabulary. Because, you know, people come up to me and be like, oh, you do that little poetry thing. Is that all you do? Is that just how you make your living? I'm like, what the hell? What is wrong with you? Like, you go to a cube every day. I'm in, like, Guatemala. Are you kidding? Like, this is the best job ever. But so Kimberly, you know, we have this poetry reading every Monday in Rex, Georgia, which is where the second poetry slam is going to be. at the end of next weekend. And Rex, Georgia, just by the name, you could tell, one, it's country as hell. It is out of the way. And it is 30 minutes from where I live. And I live southwest Atlanta. So, and I actually live in unincorporated. So I don't even actually live inside the city limits, but the post office needed to say something, so they made us Atlanta. So anyway, it is 30 minutes further south than here, and we're there every Monday doing a poetry workshop at 7, and then we start an open mic at 8, and Kimberly started coming about 6 weeks ago, and it was really cool. Like, she came, she was like, you know, I'm just going to come check it out or whatever. The next week, she brought 38 people with her. I mean, it was just great. She took over the whole restaurant. She brought all her friends from work. You know, that one dude at the end, though, he was looking hella bored. He was like, really? I came out. What is this?
Yeah.
Some people just don't get poetry. But her friends come with her every week. Kimberly is really supportive, and I really thank you all. I mean, I thank you for having us on the show, and you all, just whatever she does on her blog talk show, y'all should just really, really support her. She's really good people. She also jumped in and was like, how can I help Rough Language? I read about it. I see about it. I see what y'all are doing. So she's also making some connections soon. I'm going to call your attorney friend as soon as we get off the phone. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, because I thought it was crazy when you were talking about, you know, the work being stolen. I guess I never really thought about people actually stealing from poets. Like,
yeah,
we're the starving artists to a certain degree. You're going to take from us? That's
yeah,
crazy.
Well, I think what happens is that's what they think. They think that we don't have any fans or not enough fans where people are going to recognize our work. So they're like, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that idea. I'm going to take that concept. I'm going to take those lines. And because I'm the famous A-list artist, nobody's going to notice. What we're talking about is that Biggie Nine, a poet and hip-hop artist here in Atlanta, had a very, very, very similar song to, what is that? Who is that? T.I. and somebody, Lonely, T.I. and Timberland, not Timberland, what's his name?
Justin Timberlake,
thank you. Lonely Road or whatever it's called. And we were just like, nah, dog. Like, and Miggy's song came out, quote unquote, first. And we're like, no way in hell that y'all came up with that. And he can't, no, impossible. And I know for a fact that, especially in Atlanta and bigger cities, that, you know, A-list artists, you know, sneak up on open mics or send their, you know, cronies, you know what I mean, and check us out, see what we're doing. You can't tell me that wasn't straight stolen. And I made the joke that Jay-Z stole stuff from me. I don't think he's really stole stuff from me. But I will say that a couple times, you know, people will call me and be like, yo, that Jay-Z, you know, song, his lyrics or whatever, sounds like you. And I'm like, I wouldn't doubt it, dog. I just wouldn't doubt it, you know. Jay-Z and I used to date. No, we didn't.
Oh,
but... No, we didn't. I used to have a fantasy that we dated, though, just because he was tall. Like, you know, I was like, oh, a tall rapper, finally. Because all the other rappers are, like, short as hell. Like, I think of all the rappers that we know.
Yeah, he's tall. He looks like he's, like, 5'2".
No, hell no. He's got to be, like, 6'1". I mean, look at him when he's standing next to Beyonce, and she's got on 6-inch heels. So, I mean, she's 5'7".
Yeah, but no, she is not. Beyonce is, like, 5'5".
No, she's taller than I am. She's got to be, like, because I'm 5'6".
No.
Well, I can't believe we're arguing about this. But she, you don't think so? I mean, I kind of swore I read that she's 5'7". Or maybe that's the Hollywood height, huh? Maybe that's what
that's Hollywood height. Yeah, that's what her shoes on.
Well, he's taller
really
than her. Well, even if she, okay, say she was only 5'5", 6 inches is still 6 feet. So, and he's taller than her with her heels on, so he's got to be at least 6'1", maybe 6'2". 6'2" would be nice,
maybe.
But I don't think he's 6'2". Yeah.
I don't know. Jay-Z, call in and tell us how tall you really are, sir. We want to know. Call in right
settle
now.
Settle this, please. Yeah, wake up from whatever you're doing. Actually, he's probably awake. I actually remember Emilion, his that girl rapper that he had that looked like a horse with the long hair and a really weird face. You remember?
Who?
Emilion. No.
Emilion?
Was that her? No, her name was just Emilion. Not Christina Milian. But anyway, so there was an article about how she got fired. They were supposed to be leaving somewhere on like a tour bus or whatever at 7 in the morning. She shows up at noon and gets fired. Like, no, bitch. Like, really? I'm the star. Like, I'm here at 7:00, but they say he's got really good business ethics, and he's actually up really early every day, like reading the papers and stuff, kind of like a president. But, I mean, that's how he conducts himself, which is why he's successful at what he does. So I believe it.
Oh, wow. Damn. I was about to say, is he doing the Ike Turner? He's finding people. You can find his lake.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Prince does that, though, too. Michael Phillips, not to be name-dropping, but I'm about to, shameless plug, is on my album, is on Domino Effect, and he's a saxophone artist from Hidden Beach, and he was telling me how he's on tour with Prince right now, or they were last year, or he's, you know, he plays sax for Prince and the band whenever they go out. He was saying that if you miss a note, you know, Prince has his little move. He turns around in the middle of the show and gives you that look, and you are fined like $5,000 to $10,000 to $50,000, depending on, you know, how serious it was. So,
wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You have to develop a Michael Jackson practice mentality so you don't miss anything. That is, but you know what?
Zero.
That's the dedication to the art. You know, it goes beyond just being a performer, which is what I was talking about earlier before you called into the show. Everybody now just wants to be a performer. It's not about the art.
You're right. And that's why we have those writing workshops in Rex, and that's why we have the writing workshops during Rough Language. And even I also host, as I didn't even mention, I host a few spots around Atlanta. And one of the other places I host that I love hosting is I host the Apache Cafe every fourth Sunday, and which I will not be doing this month because I switched from my homegirl, so I hosted last weekend. But we also do a writing workshop at 7 o'clock at the Apache Cafe, and that is buzzing. That place is not quiet and nice like Rex, so you have to be dedicated to really want to conduct and be a part of that workshop, even at 7 o'clock, because people are standing waiting to get in the Apache Cafe every single Sunday at 7:00. So we have a writing workshop there, because I think writing is very important. The sister, I did tune in a little bit, so the sister was saying that people don't write from their hearts anymore, and that's very true on the mainstream. And I think that where you will find that people write from the heart is on the level of spoken word or underground or independent music. I don't even like saying underground anymore. If it's independent music, I really find that you find people that write from the heart, no matter what it is. Like next week, when we open up Rough Language, I am going to read the period poem. And trust me, as funny as it is definitely from my heart.
Because I can't wait to hear it.
That's right, you haven't heard
it
yet. Oh, it's off the chain. So I'm just going to say, just have an open mind. I'm not even going to say that. It's been hilarious. It's definitely been a hit with the women, and men just kind of just say, oh, I understand now. That's really their reaction is like, oh, okay, I get it. I understand the whole thing. That's hilarious. This is the funniest poem I've ever written in my whole entire life. But it's true and true, though. Just because it's funny doesn't make it any less pertinent, because trust and believe, it took me a year to write it, and I always say that, and people find it funny, but every month that I was on my cycle, I wrote a little more. I started taking notes 2 years ago when I was at WOW, when it was in Detroit, Michigan, and I was telling my friends about it in the car, my idea of writing the real period poem, because so many of my poet friends have these deep poems about their period and of the earth and how it flourishes and makes children, and we should praise our period. And I was like, fuck that. I hate my period. It's the worst shit ever invented by man. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
I'll just give you the first line. The first line of the poem is, when I get to heaven, I am kicking Eve's ass. And that's how it starts, and that is the energy through the whole thing. So that is that is the jump off. So come out, have fun.
I think Eve's going to have a long line waiting, people waiting to get her. Like Eve did us all wrong. I mean, there's going to be a waiting list to fight her.
Probably, because she stood up for a lot of people. But yeah, I'm excited to read it. It's going to be cool.
All right. Well, we're going to go back to the phone lines, looking at the 682 area code. 682, you're on. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Hello? Well, I guess as soon as I answer, they hang up. Wow. Did not want to talk to the queen. All right, 504, I'm looking at you. 504 coming to you now. Good morning. You're on Real Talk?
Hello?
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 Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I can. How are you doing?
Oh, okay, good. How you doing?
Good. Who am I speaking with?
This is GF Soldier. I'm a poet down here in Dallas, Texas, originally from New Orleans. Just calling to give the queen a shout out.
What's up, GS? How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing really well, doing really well. You coming up to Atlanta with Audacious next weekend?
I wish I could, but I got stuff going on next weekend too. I'm gonna be in New Orleans next weekend doing something. But just calling to give you a shout out and just say keep your head up, keep doing what you do. Hopefully I could come out to another event that you're giving, and that's pretty much it.
So that's what's up. Well, we do it once a quarter. So the next one will be in June and then September. And then the end of the year one is always around Christmas. But this year it's actually going to be on Christmas night. So make plans now to come up and see us one of those times.
No doubt. No doubt. Will do.
But thank you for calling in. I appreciate you.
No problem. Appreciate you.
All right,
then enjoy the rest of your Saturday. All right, before we get too far in, I actually have the promo. You sent me the promo for the event, so I'm going to go ahead and play that right now for everybody that is listening, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely, and I want just to say that this was created by a radio personality in Alaska, Georgia. And her name is Karina Delgado, and she is also one of the poets that is going to be in the Poetry Slam next Saturday. So even the poets that are in the slam that already have so much to worry about with the community service, the writing workshop, and as you heard Chauncey talk about earlier, the strategy of slamming, they have also pitched in to help make this event, you know, what it is going to be. So she said, hey, you know what? I have the equipment here. I'm already a radio DJ. Let me go ahead and make this. So this is from Karina Delgado. Thank you so much, lady.
All right. Well, thanks. Here it is, people.
Saturday, March 20th, Rough Language presents Femme Fatale.
$500 Poetry Slam and Live Music Series.
It's Rough Language Women's History Month featuring Eva Kennedy, Philippia Williams, and live music by the Blaze One Band. Introducing Raquel M. Jackson,
yep,
straight from
know
Philly.
Them.
Of course, we got you on that shoulder lean music by DJ E. It's all brought to you by your spoken word femme fatale gangster, Sheba Baby. Saturday, March 20th at 595 North Restaurant and Lounge. The doors open at 8, show starts at 9 o'clock on the dot.
Tickets online at www.belowtheradar.us.
$15 online, $20 at the door. $30 will get you VIP with a limited number of tickets. Rough Language celebrates Women's History Month with Femme Fatale.